Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And we'll begin reading in verse number 8. I'll read through verse number 37. So verses 8 through 37. And after I finish reading our text, let's stand as we read. I'd ask Cohen if he would to pray for us. So 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out with his father to the reapers or into the field. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Isn't that something? It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And her child's dead. And she's saying, It is well. Well, before she had said, It shall be well, right? And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then said Gehazi, or he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them both and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son, and went out. A remarkable story, huh, that we have there. Cole, would you pray for us? Amen. You may be seated. So certainly miss Brother JT this morning, and he is in our prayers. He may be listening, I don't know, this morning, I'm not sure. But I know Sister Betty said he was weak, so we pray the Lord would strengthen him and restore his health back unto him and restore him back, you know, unto us. Certainly we know there's other situations, circumstances that are going on within our congregation, and we don't think of them more lightly than Brother JT, but this is the time that he would normally be standing here, and I'd be sitting out there listening to him. So certainly want to mention him this morning. So this Shunammite woman, she lived in a city of, or in Issachar, and it's really a place where there was a lot of trade and travel. People would come through, and that would be kind of a rest stop. You know, we know something of rest stops, not like they would know something about. They were traveling, you know, by beast or upon foot. You know, we're traveling by car, and we've come across these rest stops on the side of the road. We've pulled into a few of them, you know, over the years at times to stretch our legs and go again. But nowadays, most of the time, it's a gas station, you know. Originally, I'd say the Buc-ee's are way back, yeah. All the rest stops, and I guess there's not as many of them as there used to be. I don't see too many. A lot of times you see them, I guess, when you cross, like, Texas, Louisiana, you know, you see some, you know, in those places, but there's not as many as there used to be. But it was a rest stop for weary travelers, and that in and of itself, in relationship to what we glean from the passage, is significant because we have a rest. You know, here was a place where Elisha would stop and rest on his journey. You know, maybe he's going to Mount Carmel, but he's resting on his journey. And there is, you know, a physical rest that those people who stopped in that place, and you could see that it was that sort of a town, because the woman, you know, constrains Elisha to stop there and eat, you know, something before he begins his journey again. But it is a reminder for us of the spiritual reality that there is for us, that we have a rest in Christ. So here we are on our journey, right? So we're going along through this life's path, and this world is not our home. We're passing through, and as we go and we encounter and we face trials and we face tribulations and we face troubles, you know, we find ourselves in a place of needing rest. And Christ is that rest for us. We rest in the Lord, even as Elisha found a place to rest here, attached to this woman's home. You know, once she gained this man as a customer, so to speak, you know, he stopped and ate, and she perceived that he was a man of God. She said, I want to go above and beyond. You know, she wanted her husband to build a place for him to be able to stop and sleep. But we have that spiritual reality that we rest in the Lord. So as we I think the main thing as we go through this is the thing that jumps out to me anyway is the statement that she makes, the child's dead, but the statement that she makes that it shall be well. And then when she's specifically asked by Gehazi, you know, she said it is well. And so if we put those two phrases in conjunction with this idea of rest, then we come to this place where we find ourselves saying, be still and know that he is God. We come to a place where we say, it is well with our souls. We could have sang that hymn this morning, couldn't we, in relationship to these things that we're looking at. It is well with our souls. But do we rest in the Lord? Now, granted, it's a poor example, this little shack that was built, you know, for Elisha, the rest that we have. I mean, that's just a little earthly place where there was a bed and a table, you know, for Elisha to sleep. But we possess something far greater than that, don't we, in Christ. But having that rest, can we say when things happen in our lives, you know, it is well, or it shall be well? You know, can we say those things, Christ being our refuge, the Lord having said unto us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he causes all things to work together for our good, that we think about it and we reason these things and we say, we're his children. You know, we have our own children that we care for. We're children of God if we belong to Christ. And if we are God's, then we think about what God has done. You know, if he gave his only begotten son, what will he not do? And what can happen to us that doesn't, in essence, pass through his hand? You know, what can occur in our lives that God's not in complete and utter control of? So what are the conclusion, in other words, can we come to? Then it is well. It is well. Or it shall be well. You know, we come to that conclusion. And it is remarkable that we hear her. I mean, this is a Shunammite woman. This isn't a Jewish person. This is a Shunammite. This is a stranger, you know, to the covenant, you know, of God. And yet, we see the grace of God in her life. If it had been one of those occasions where the Lord and the disciples had been going along and someone, you know, had cried out, Jesus, thou son, you know, of David, have mercy upon me. You know, the woman presses in, you know, from through the crowd and touches the hem of his garment. And, you know, there's, you have, you know, the Syrophoenician woman, you know, that had a child that was sorely vexed. And she's like, you know, will you do something for me? And the Lord says, it's not right for me to give children's bread to dogs. Right? You remember that occasion? And so was the Lord really calling her a dog? No, he was saying what those around him, what the Pharisees would have said. You know, they're outside the covenant. That is a Gentile. They regarded Gentiles as dogs. You couldn't even go into a Gentile's house. And the woman, the faith that she had, God-given faith, what does she say? Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. You know, and so great. It talks about there being this woman being a great woman as we began reading. You know, in the text there was a part that said about her being, it was verse number 8 actually, the first verse, it said that there was a great woman. You know, what made her great? Well, one of the things we could, you know, if we just judge upon the face of the story itself, the account that's given, we'd have to say her faith. Her faith was great. And it doesn't seem to be something, you know, that necessarily, I'm not saying that it wasn't increased or strengthened maybe by conversations that she could have had with Elisha, but it seemed already to be present before Elisha begins to even stay, you know, in this little place that she had built. So, you know, when things don't go according to the way that we would like for them to, you know, she wasn't expecting her son to die. She wasn't expecting a son, you know, to, as far as that goes. I mean, that Elisha asked her the question, you know, what is it that you would have that I should do for you? You know, would you be spoken of forward to the king? You know, would you be spoken of, you know, forward to the captain of the host? You know, what would you have? And she's like, well, you know, you're king. I live among my people. No, I don't need to be spoken of to the king. I don't need to be spoken of to the captain of the host. But Gehazi, you know, gleans some information, you know, from her, whether it was a spoken request that she might have a son, or if Gehazi just comes back and tells Elisha, here's what I see. I see a couple, and the man is older. I mean, he's, you know, maybe Abraham, you know, and Sarah type of age. You know, whether she was that old or not, it doesn't say. It says he was older. Was she, much younger than he? We don't know. But they don't have any children. You think about growing up on a farm. The children, you had children. The children worked on the farm with you. I mean, we see him going out into the field, and they're reaping, and the child goes out there, with them. So there wasn't a child. There wasn't any posterity. That wasn't something that was there for them. But later on, I'm going to mention, Ruth and Naomi and our message out of Psalm 30. But you think about Elimelech. They go to Moab, and he loses his life, and both of his sons lose their life. And all that Ruth is left with are two daughters-in-law. And they kind of go, for a ways with her when she decides she's going to return, unto the Bethlehem. But one of them's like, okay, when she says, you don't yet owe me anything, just go back. She goes back. But Ruth clings, to her. And as I think about this woman, she's clinging to, what faith that she had, what faith she had been given. But the question that plagues us in these things that happen to us is why? Why, Lord, would you give me a son and then take that son away? You think about Abraham, going back to him, here is Isaac. He's the child of promise, right? And God says, I want you to go up to the mountain and offer sacrifice, the sacrifice of your son. Lord, why would you give him to me and take him away? Yeah. Right, but he's older. Yeah, he's older when it happens. Yeah. Right. And you think of Isaac probably the same, thing. Isaac was probably older like that, And I understand. I mean, he's not like he's this baby that's given. The baby's taken away. To a mama, yeah. but, the question probably crossed her mind as to, why would the Lord give, and then take away? But that's Job territory, isn't it? The Lord's given, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Abraham's situation, he counted that the Lord, if he were to slay Isaac, that the Lord could raise him again from the dead. That was the faith that Abraham had, and seems to be some of the same territory here with this woman, doesn't it? That she goes saying, "It shall be well." It is well. But the question more than likely did come to her mind as to, why is this? And the answer to it was, "It's well." What the answer to it for Job was, God gave, God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is well. We may not understand it, but we know God ordained it to be so. Doesn't make it, do we understand it? No, it doesn't make it any less true that God ordained it and he's in control of it. But where would we be if we didn't have, this? I mean, what depths would this woman have sunk to apart from faith, apart from God-given faith, apart from the grace of faith? Where would she have found herself? I mean, much different than saying, "It shall be well," or "It is, well." But by faith, we may not understand what's happening, but we receive it, we accept it, in a sense. Lord, you've chosen to do this. And we've had what, over 20 inches of rain, I believe. I don't know if there's an exact total. I mean, I was looking at a website that showed the amount of rainfall in our area, and it had different colors. And oddly enough, on the scale, as you looked at it, white was the one that was the highest level, and it was over 20 inches. And I thought, well, that's an odd color for over 20 inches. That would have been blue in my mind, because the water. But anyway, we may not understand why we had so much rain. That's a lot of rain, Lord. The ground just can't take anymore. Roads are being washed out. I can't get to work. I can't get out of my house, or my house has been destroyed, leveled by my cars, or all my possessions are gone. By faith, we say, Lord, you've chosen I don't understand the reason at this point in my life why you've chosen for me to start over.
Prayed pretty hard last year for rain. It's being answered now.
But if you lost everything, you know, what would you do? When you're starting over, maybe you didn't have any insurance even. You're starting over at, you know, me, 55, you know, years old. Well, what is that for the Lord? Or even, you know, Sister Pat, if you had to start over now, you know, what is that to the Lord? If I didn't have, you know, money in the bank to rebuild, what is that to the Lord? Is that any obstacle to him? Is he going to be hindered from providing for us because we don't have? No. He spoke everything to existence, you know, that he didn't even start with anything. He just spoke and it was. So here this woman is saying, it shall be well, it is well. So we see in you know, the verses 19 through 21, the boy fell in the field with his father and he was sent home to his mother. And then on her knees, he died. What did she do? She picked up the child and took the child and put it upon the bed that she had prepared, you know, for the prophet. You know, what does God tell us to do with our cares? Cast them upon him, right? I mean, that's essentially what this I see, you know, in this woman taking that child and putting it upon this on the prophet's bed is like casting our cares upon him because he cares for us. You know, in all that we face, in all that we endure as far as trial and tribulation, let me just go to the cross. See what God has done for you. And if he's done that, and Scripture does speak to us in these terms, if he's done that, if he's given his only begotten Son, what will he not do? Why should I worry? Why should I fear? Be still and know that he is God. So here's the seemingly disastrous event that's befalling her. And she doesn't even tell her husband that the child has died. You know, that you would think that would have been something that would come to his mind. He sent the child home because the child wasn't feeling well. And the woman sends this, you know, almost urgent communique, send me a servant that I may go to the prophet. And it doesn't dawn on him immediately that this is something to do, you know, with the child. But then, you know, she tells her servant, you know, hasten with all speed. Don't slow down. Don't think that I can't keep up with you. I mean, you think what you were saying a while ago, Sister Delina, about it, you know, how fast could you ride? You know, don't slow up unless I tell you to. And she's going to get there as quickly as possible. And so you think about that when things happen in our lives, how quick are we? How quick are we to go to the Lord? How long does that thing linger? How long does that thing, you know, cause us to worry and to fret? How long does that thing sit there and smolder, as it were, and smoke and almost seemingly stifle out and smother and suffocate? What we should be doing is running immediately, as fast as we can, running to the Lord, like this woman here runs unto the prophet. You know, has the Lord not given us sufficient instruction in his word to come unto him, to call upon him in the day of trouble, and that he would answer us? You know, has he not given us sufficient instruction? Certainly he has. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And don't forget about that. So here we're taking everything to the Lord, but we're also going with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that I'm able to call upon you in this situation. Lord, I thank you that you're going to answer me. I don't know when or how that's going to happen, but I know that you will. You said you would, and so I'm going to trust in you. And our faith may be, like we've said in previous Psalms, severely tried. But we wait upon the Lord, and we look unto him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In coming in that way, the very next verse we're familiar with, but let me read it to you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, that word kept, what a precious word that is. I mean, kept. I'm being kept by God. That will be a common theme in Psalm 30 as we get there later today, the Lord willing. But being kept. I'm kept by God. I'm kept by the power of God. I'm kept in His love. I'm kept, you know, from so many things that we can't even see or don't even know, you know, anything about. But how anxious we can be, how careful, and how often we fail to run to the Lord immediately. We fail to run to Him in the trials and tribulations that we face. We look at them and they appear like giants. And you think about when they came in, the Israel comes into Canaan and they're giants and we're grasshoppers in their sight. These problems look like giants and we appear to be grasshoppers in their sight. They're like Goliaths and they tower over us and they've caused the whole army of Israel, you know, just to be frozen until David comes. No one will go against Goliath. We have one that will. We have one that will overthrow Goliath. It wasn't David, it was God. God did that through David, you know. We have one that is greater than our needs, greater than our problems, greater than our troubles, greater than all of our cares. In fact, He's the one that sent them to cause us to be in the place that we're in so that we would call upon His name. And if we go back to the message last week, that He might be glorified. That He might be glorified. So doesn't the peace of God and being kept by the power of God sound so much more pleasant than our worry, than our doubt, than our fears, than our unbelief? Isn't that a much better place to, going back to what we were talking about in the beginning, rest? To rest there? Wouldn't you rather be able to say, like this Shunammite woman does, that it shall be well, or it is well, to be able to say that? What would Elisha's servant Gehazi have said if she had told him the facts? You know, he asked all these questions that were really coming from Elisha. Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? You know, what if she had said, it's well with me? Yes. Is it well with your husband? Yes. Is it well with the child? What if she had said, no, the child is dead? You know, how would Gehazi have reacted? Yeah, I don't know. Yes, it's, you know, her answer really would have been, you know, if she had given more information, yes, it is well, but my child is dead. And that just wouldn't seem to go together, would it? And it doesn't seem to, does it? And the world looks at us and they are confounded. How can you be going through what you're going through and you say, it is well? How could you face the things that you're facing and you say, it is well, or it shall be well? Because God has said so. God has said it would be. I mean, even if we die, will it be well with your soul? Yes, even if we die. So, you know, he would likely have exclaimed, what do you mean the child's dead? He might have been as surprised as we would have been. How can it be well with you if the child is dead? I wanted to share with you, I don't think I've shared this with you before, but I wanted to share with you a story that I had read once that it has some, you know, relationship to what this Shunammite woman is going through here. But a beautiful story is told of a devout home. So this is a godly home, you know already, in which were twin boys who were greatly loved. In the absence of their father, both boys suddenly died. When the father returned, not knowing of the sorrow in his home. I mean, remember, kids, there's no cell phones back these days. You know, there wasn't even telegraph, you know then. But when the father returned, not knowing of the sorrow in his home, the mother met him at the door and said, I've had a strange visitor since you went away. Who was it? Asked the father, not suspecting her meaning. Well, 5 years ago, she said, a friend lent unto me two precious jewels. Yesterday he came and he asked for them back. What shall I do? And the father said, well, they're his. He just loaned them to you. You should return them. They were only lent to you. If they're his, he must have them again. Give them back. Leading her husband to the boy's room. The wife drew down a sheet, uncovering their forms. And she said, "These are my jewels." 5 years ago, they were 5 years old, right? 5 years ago, God lent them to me, and yesterday he came and took them back again. You know, that's something, isn't it? You hear the faith, you know, there. And I mean, she could have met her husband at the door just, you know, melting in the pool of tears. But, you know, we might say, like with this Shunammite woman, what great faith. God's in control here. Five-year-old twin boys given and taken away. And she recognized that it was God's hand in it. You know, she didn't say, well, it was a disease, you know, that did it. You know, it very well could have been. Where did the disease come from? You know, God allowed that. Whatever it was that happened to him, God allowed that. But what a way. How would you have responded if you had been the husband? You know, and your wife had told you the story about these jewels, and they were lent, and the person who lent them to me asked them back, and what do I do? And the preparation that she, you know, made for him to, I mean, she was there. She went through it all. You know, she was there when the children underwent whatever sickness they had. Did it die suddenly? I mean, both at the same time? I mean, this is a little unusual, isn't it? You know, even if they had both become sick, one of them would have probably gotten the sickness first, passed it on to the other, which means one of them may have died before the other. And that could have happened. We don't have all the details, you know, in the story. But that both of the children, you know, died. And what a way that she prepared, you know, him, because she had seen it all transpire before her eyes. She's had time to deal with it all. And here he comes, and in a moment, you know, is shown these things. And what a gracious gift God gave that man and the wife that he had to be so merciful, you know, as to reveal that unto him, you know, in that way. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Shunammite woman here. She doesn't tell the husband the child's dead. You know, she goes to the Lord. You know, some people, like we said, would say, how awful this thing is that's happened to you. Or, you know, if someone close to us, you know, passes away, you know, maybe a spouse who belonged to the Lord, you know, people will still say, I'm sorry for your loss. And we understand that. You know, it is a loss for us, but it's gain, you know, for them, isn't it? There's another perspective. It's gain for them. Sure, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. You know, it's gain, you know, for them. You know, I think it was George Mueller, when George Mueller's wife died. You know, I forget exactly how many years it was, but when he preached the funeral, which would be, that would take grace in and of itself to preach your own spouse's funeral, you know, but he says however many years it was, even to the month. I don't know that he went to day and minute and second, but he said the years and the months that the Lord had given him, you know, this gift, and he has chosen to take it, you know, away. You know, the Lord's given, the Lord's taken away. You know, in essence, he's saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. But he's saying, you know, he said, I'm on this side of Christ in the land of the living. She's just on the other side of the Lord, and I'll see her again. You know, what a rest, right? What a peace that we have because of Christ. But people will say, how awful. What will you do now? No, you don't understand. It is a difficult place. But I'm not alone in this. God is with me. God is for me. God is my help. God is my deliverer. It will be well with me. You know, that's the message that we have here. I think Sister Provia had sent something out this week, and she talked about this thing that happened, and she was rejoicing in it and thanking the Lord for it. And then she turned right around at the end of what she was saying, and she said, even if it turned out the opposite of that, God's still good. God's still in control. God's still gracious. God's still right in all that he does. So, you know, here's this place, this woman. What if the child had not been raised again from the dead? I mean, does everybody expect that to happen? Did everybody in the Old Testament expect that? No, to happen. But the end result is she would have been able to say, it is well. It is well. What more What more can we say? And that's the thing that praises God. That's the thing that glorifies God, right? I mean, what's the greatest thing that we can say about that? It will be well. It shall be well. It shall be well. The Lord's going to strengthen us. The Lord's going to help us. The Lord's going to cause us to be able to stand. It is well. What a bold statement that she makes by faith. It is well. It shall be well. It's all working together. It's all Romans 8 territory. She didn't have Romans 8, did she? No, but apparently she must have the Spirit of God to be able to say, it shall be well. It is well. Let me just read that to you. I know you know the passage, but since we're talking about these things, you know, since the iron is kind of hot, so to speak, let's read the passage. You know, Romans 8:30 says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, you know, who, what could possibly be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We've already said that in so many words, but I read from that point. Now I'm going to go back and read verse number 28, because I started at verse number 29, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. So it is well. It's all working together. What things are working together? All things are working together. It's not just some things, it's everything. Everything. All things that occur. They're working together to one intended end. What is that end? It is our good. Working together for our good. What good thing is this? You know, this woman's son has died. What good thing is this? In the end, it is well. It's working together for our good. I mean, God spared nothing. He gave his son. Shall he not also with him freely give us all things, causing all things to work together for our good? The potter is at work. He is fashioning us as a vessel that we might become like unto the image of Christ. You know, the Lord's there in the garden. He's praying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But if it's not possible, if I have to drink it, your will be done." You know, that is the place this woman is dwelling. That is the place that we must dwell. You know, Lord, if it's possible. Last week when we were looking at the things that we were seeing out of Psalm 29, talking about the voice of the Lord, and, you know, Donnie and I had some correspondence this week in regards to this, and I'm like, the Lord spoke this week, didn't he? And that was just after Sunday. And the whole week, we've had more. I mean, after what we saw Sunday evening, I didn't think what was coming in the rest of the week was going to be anything close, would be able to hold a candle, you know, to it. But what we received right after that, if it wasn't as bad, it was a close second, wasn't it? It was a lot. God spoke, and it was done. And we look at those things. That's the voice of the Lord, and the world would look at that and say, "Why would God do that? What kind of God are you promoting here? What kind of God do you claim to serve? You know, that he would cause such devastation and destruction?" And let me tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Our God's holy. His wrath is great. You had better repent or you're going to perish. Well, what about the believer? Why would the Lord allow things? The Lord allows it so that we might turn unto him. He's got a purpose in it. You know, whatever it is that we're going through, he's got a purpose in it. And what do we say? Nevertheless, Lord, if it's possible, let it pass. You know, maybe a hurricane's approaching, you know, our coast. Lord, if it's possible, let it pass. Let it just fizzle out there, you know, in the Gulf. But if not, Lord, keep us. Lord, protect us. Lord, spare us. Or Lord, take us home to glory. You know, if that's the way that you choose to take me to glory, then send the hurricane. But, you know, here we hear this woman, what she says. it shall be well. It is well. Not my will, but thine be done. You know, whether it's the storm or it's Brother JT's, you know, heart condition, there's nothing wrong with us praying, Lord, if it's possible, let this pass. But don't leave out, if it's not possible, lest I drink it, thy will be done. Grant me strength, Lord. Grant me strength to be able to drink this cup. Grant me strength to be able to drink this cup in such a way that it brings honor and glory to you. Grant me strength to walk by faith, to walk before you in reverence and godly fear. Remember Paul's answer about the thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee. So we go through these things and say, Lord, may your grace be sufficient for me. May I be able to make it through this in such a way that it would honor and glorify you. And that I might be able to see by faith it is well. I might be able to see by faith this is for my good. That I'd be able to, as Paul does, glory in his infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I mean, if I'm not glorying in what's happening in my life, what's resting upon me? Probably worry and fear and doubt. But if I'm looking into him and the way this Shunammite woman is saying it shall be well or it is well, then here I am in this place that Paul is describing when he says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that sounds a whole lot like, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon the Lord. He'll sustain you. You know, the peace of God that passes understanding. Therefore, Paul says, I, in 2 Corinthians 12:10, take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when things happen, can we not see that it is for good? I mean, this Shunammite woman could see it. It shall be well. It is well. When things happen in our lives, can we not see what God says in his word, that it is for good? Are these things working against us? Or are they working for us? God's for us. He's not against us. We ought to be able to say with the Shunammite woman, it is well. Is it well with you this morning? Yeah. I hope it's well with you this morning. I hope you have that answer this morning. It is well. You know, when Sister Proby couldn't get and Delina couldn't get, y'all couldn't get to your kids, you know, Sunday night. And there was a storm. And reports of tornadoes. And there's flooded, you know, roads. And, you know, can we say in those instances? Can we not say, it shall be well? I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I expect, Sister Lena probably expected, you know, Monday morning, Russell's going to bring my son back home to me, you know, or somebody is, Andrew, somebody. But if that's not the case, I mean, can we say, it shall be well? Or before we know the outcome, can we say, it should? She didn't know the outcome yet, did she? I mean, she's running too, as fast as she can. She's running to Elisha. She doesn't know the outcome. She doesn't know what's going to happen. Can we say, like she says, it shall be well. It is well. You think about Samuel. And think about whenever the Lord had spoken to Samuel. And Eli knew the Lord had said something to him. And he said, don't hold it back from me. Whatever it is the Lord has said. If you hold anything back from me, let the same thing be done unto you, in essence. And in the end, when Samuel tells him, you know, everything that is going to take place, Eli says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. I mean, can you rest there? Can you rest there in everything that's going on? Can you rest in that place? It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. What seemeth to him to be good? That same kind of thing with Job, wasn't he? He bows down and worships the Lord. He gave, he took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 39, verse 9 said, I was dumb. Doesn't mean he was ignorant. You know, doesn't mean that he was stupid. That's not what we're talking about there. When it says he was dumb, it means he didn't open his mouth. He was silent before the Lord. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth. The psalmist said, because you did it. Lord, you've done this. It wasn't somebody else that did it. Oh, there may be other actors involved. But it wasn't that they did it. They couldn't have done it unless God permitted it to be done. The psalmist says, you did it. You did it. God's doing it. The Shunammite woman knew this. God did it. And how strong was her faith in God and her submission to his authority that she humbled herself under his mighty hand, and before she ever knew the outcome of what would happen to her son, she said, it shall be well. Psalm 33, 20 through 22 says, our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him. What does that mean? It means, Lord, you've done it. It means, Lord, the outcome's in your hands. I'm going to rejoice in you. Our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. How about that part of the equation? According as we hope in him. You know, let your mercy, Lord, be upon us according as we hope. You know, how is your hope in this area? You know, how is your faith? According as we hope in thee. So it is blessed instruction for us that we see here in what the Shunammite woman exclaims when she says, it shall be well, it is well. Isaiah 3:10 says this, say ye to the righteous. Say to the righteous. Now this isn't to the unrighteous. Say to the righteous. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. It shall be well with him. We can say, it shall be well with us. This woman clung to Elisha. We cling unto the Lord, don't we? I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what's going to happen next week. We didn't expect all that happened this past week to happen, but it did. I'm here to tell you, it shall be well with you. The end of all things will be good. You know the rest of your story. You remember Paul Harvey, don't you? Anybody remember Paul Harvey? Yeah, some of the older people remember Paul Harvey. Some of the younger people are like, who's Paul Harvey? But he used to have a radio program. And he would tell a story. And then it would get to a point, he said, now for the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story. You already know the rest of the story. It shall be well with you. You know the rest of the story. Wherefore, 1 Peter 4:19 says, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator.